Romans 6, verses 20 through 23, these are God's words. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Last week's portion ended in verse 19 with a command to present every aspect of who we are as slaves of righteousness unto holiness. This new slavery that we have been brought into with the wonderful fruit that it produces, which is holiness. And yet, there may be some who in the remaining sinfulness, think that being able to sin more sounds good to them. And so what the apostle does now, what the Spirit does now in these four verses, is he compares our condition from before, being united to Christ by faith and being justified through faith in Jesus Christ, to our condition now that we are united to Christ by faith. And he urges us to consider the blessedness of our new master, our new fruit, and our new end. First, then, our new master. We have a new master. He says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You never did anything righteous when you were a slave of sin. Why? Because master sin never told you to do righteousness. And so you are completely free from righteousness. But you have a new master, and that master is really Master God, not just Master Righteousness, verse 22. Now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, now we are no longer free from righteousness, we are free for righteousness. We've been freed from slavery to sin, and our slavery to God is what we would have considered freedom before. Ought to have considered freedom before, to be righteous. Thank God we have a new master. Now, there are those who do not like to think of God as master, and those who do not like to think of righteousness as freedom. And those who don't like to think of God as their master, or righteousness as freedom, are just showing that they are still under master sin. They haven't come to the new master. Sometimes you'll even hear people use a phrase, Christian liberty, or misuse of the phrase Christian liberty. The phrase Christian liberty is one that we use to talk about the doctrine that God alone is the Lord of the conscience, and that we are free from the opinions of men, so that we may be wholly devoted to serving our Lord, our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, Christian liberty is why the church must not observe man-made holy days, because if it does, it forces upon many in the congregation that which comes from an opinion of men. It's not a command of God. And so the church must not practice anything that God has not commanded, because it impinges upon the Christian liberty of the congregation. But there are some people who use Christian liberty to say, you should let me do whatever I want. Don't instruct me from the Bible. Don't correct me from the Bible. Don't rebuke me from the Bible. And certainly don't discipline me according to the Bible. But this is not liberty at all. Christian liberty is not liberty to do what we feel like, or liberty to sin. It is liberty from our former master, Master Sin. It is liberty for righteousness under our new master, Master God. So we have a new master. We recognize and rejoice over the fact that our master now is such a better master, and we are glad to serve him and present our members, present every aspect of who we are as slaves of righteousness unto holiness. Next thing that this passage tells us that we have is not just that we have a new master, but new fruit. He asks a question, what fruit did you have then, when you were a slave of sin, in the things of which you are now ashamed? Why would a Christian want to go back to his former master and have that rotten fruit? When you were a slave of sin, perhaps you thought that the things that you did were enjoyable, but you recognized once they were done, especially you recognized once you came into the life of Christ, that that was not something enjoyable. That was rotten and corrupt and foul. You look at the results of what you have done in your sin, and you are ashamed of it, disgraced, humiliated. Can't believe I would give my life to doing that. And so that's the fruit that slavery of sin produces. In the short term, it may seem desirable. But now that we have been delivered from our bondage to sin, we're ashamed of what we used to do. And we realize that its fruit, its what has lasted from it or come from it, is humiliation and disgrace. But there is new fruit now in our new life. When he asks the what fruit question in verse 21, there's a parallel in verse 22 when he says, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit unto holiness. The fruit of being a slave of God, the fruit of walking in righteousness, as you become more and more holy. In the Bible, we know that this holiness is what makes us fit for heaven. We are enabled to find God himself and God's presence enjoyable. An unholy person does not enjoy the presence of God. He hates the light because his deeds are evil. But the righteous person, the holy person, loves the presence of God. In fact, he loves light rather than darkness, that may be seen that his deeds are done in God. Without holiness, we cannot see the Lord. If we are going to see him as he is, then we will be like him. We remember those things from John 3 and Hebrews 12 and 1 John 3. And so this is the fruit now of obeying God. Obeying God is not easy. There's a great battle with remaining sin, with remaining fleshliness. But it is fruitful, and its fruit is pleasant. The more we obey, the more we enjoy coming before him. Oh, how we dread sometimes. This is one great detriment of remaining sin. Because if we've been sinning, we are slow to come and pray and read. We don't like to participate in the family worship or the public worship. If we have unrepented of sin before God, we cannot abide his presence. And how much more when we think about the immediate and intense, glorious presence of God in what we often, with the scripture, refer to as heaven. And so the new ways of our new master have brought this new fruit, holiness, consecration to God, transformation into a condition in which we actually find him and his presence enjoyable. A great motivation to present every aspect of who you are as a slave of righteousness, because it produces the fruit of holiness. Well, not only do we have a new master who commands us in ways or unto things that produce new fruit, but this new fruit comes to us along the way to a new destination or a new end. You remember, you look at verse 21, and the fruit that we had of those things of which we are now ashamed, and the end of those things was like its fruit. You could smell the end coming by looking at the results in life of sin. Sin brings misery. Sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys us physically. Sin destroys us mentally. It never delivers on its promise of pleasantness. Indeed, if we pay attention, We can see and smell and detect in sin. The foreshadowing, the forerunner of what its end is, it ends in death. So verse 21 concludes, the end of those things is death. And verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. That is where we were going, like Pilgrim, before he comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Is in the city of destruction. There's a road that leads to destruction, the way of sin. But then there is the high way of holiness that leads not to death, but to everlasting life. We have a new end. He says, verse 22, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And so the new path our new master has put us on, in which we enjoy the new fruit that we produce on this new path as we walk it, it has a destination too. It has a terminal, and it terminates in everlasting life. You have your fruit to holiness in the end, everlasting life. So on the one hand, there's sin, which leads to death, and slavery to, on the other hand, slavery to God, which leads to everlasting life. So sin as a master will pay you a wage, but the wage isn't pleasure like you thought. The wage is death, and it is even the second death, everlasting death, the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God, however, doesn't pay us a wage, because what God wishes to give those who are in slavery to him is higher and better and greater than they could ever earn. And so the everlasting life that he gives us is not given to us as a wage, it's given as a free gift. It has been earned by another, Jesus Christ, his son, the one who by right, all of the blessedness of God belongs to him. He is the heir. It is his by right, but it is also as our representative. Now, his by merit. He has merited, he has earned, he has won the blessedness of God himself for all those who are in him. And so there are those two destinations in verse 23, just as the destinations were first mentioned at the end of verse 21 for sin, death. At the end of verse 22 for being a slave of God, everlasting life. But when verse 23 sets these two destinations next to one another, we find that there's a great difference in how the master brings us into them. Sin gives us what we deserve, what we've earned in serving it, and that is death. But God, as master, doesn't pay us a wage. He gives us the free gift that has been earned and is commensurate with, has a value corresponding to Christ Jesus our Lord. His everlasting life. And that's the third great reason, isn't it? To present every aspect of who we are. Everything we have, our time, all of our abilities, all that we are, as slaves of righteousness unto holiness. Because we have a new master, and he's a better master. He is worthy of serving. And he has put us on a path and gives us commands, gives us tasks that produce new fruit. Fruit that is holiness. Fruit that makes it pleasant to be in the presence of God. Fruit that fits us, suits us, prepares us for the blessedness of heaven. Unto a new end. The end of everlasting life, an everlasting life that is so great that it was unearnable by us. It is rightly Jesus Christ's, but God, our new master, has put us into him and gives us that end as a free gift. Won't you present yourself as a slave of God for righteousness? Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this portion of your word, and how it speaks to us so plainly to persuade us. O Lord, we should not need any persuading, but we thank you for your patience with us and your willingness to do everything for us, to give us every advantage and help that we might have in order to present ourselves unto you as slaves for righteousness. I pray, Lord, that indeed we would, that your Spirit would write the truth of this on our hearts, that we would delight that you are a new master, that we would marvel at and enjoy the goodness of the fruit of the life into which you have brought us, and that we would look forward to our end, which is in Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.